We continue our time in the book of James, for that is the scripture for this morning. Beginning of chapter 5, the beginning verse 7. Be patient, therefore, beloved, until the coming of the Lord. Farmer waits for the precious crop from the earth, being patient with it until it receives the early and the late rains. You also must be patient. In your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. Beloved, do not grumble against one another, so that you may not be judged. See, the judge is standing at the doors. As an example of suffering and patience, beloved, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Indeed, we call blessed to those who showed endurance. You have heard of the endurance of Job, and you have been seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. Above all, my beloved, do not swear by heaven or earth or by other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no be no, so that you may not fall under condemnation. Are any among you suffering? They should pray. Are any cheerful? They should sing songs of praise. Are any among you sick? They should call for the elders of the church and have them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them, and anyone who has committed sins will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another, so that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being like us, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain for the 3 years and 6 months it did not rain on the earth. And then he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth yielded its harvest. My brothers and sisters, if anyone among you wanders from truth and is brought back by another, you should know that whoever brings back a sinner from wandering will save the sinner and save the sinner's soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. This is the word of God. May you be blessed by the reading, the living, and the hearing of it. Amen.
Leonard Sweet made a comparison between learning to play a musical instrument and the church community. He writes, "The church is best defined as a community of practice, a place where those who have chosen to live, miss entrances, get offbeat, and even get completely lost for a while, yet still be a part of the church's community's practice session, that is, Christ's church. Isn't growing a soul like learning any musical instrument, a lifelong project? Yes, it brings great joy. It brings focus and direction. It brings a love of artistic perfection. But it does take continual, gradual, lifelong practice. I would say that in some ways, that is what we have been hearing about from the little book of James over the last few weeks. The church is a community of practice. One commentator writing on James says, "James is a powerful witness to both the diversity in early Christianity and the moral imperative of Christian identity in every age. James is about community rather than just about the individual. Against every form of self-assertion that seeks advantage at the expense of another, James calls for attitudes of solidarity, mercy, and compassion." What a tremendous vision, not just for the church, but for all of life as well. Instead of seeking advantage at the expense of others, taking that opportunity to live together in solidarity with mercy and compassion expressed in thought and in deed. If that would truly happen, wouldn't our world and our society be a totally different place? The Lutheran pastor and theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who was put to death by the Nazis in 1945, wrote the little book entitled Life Together. Bonhoeffer's writing has been referred to as a passionate call for Christian community. James was also written during a time when the church faced crisis, when Christians faced the possibility of persecution because of living out their faith. This is the final week that we will be hearing from the little book of James. And if you haven't had the opportunity yet, I would encourage you this week, one chapter each weekday, five short chapters in this marvelous little book. We have heard James talk about what I believe is his vision for a caring community, as he calls that community, the church, to practice their faith together and in community. They practice not just so they can make a difference in their own lives, but for the purpose of living out and fulfilling the mission of Jesus Christ in this world. Disciples of Christ are never just about asking, what's in it for me? But they're about asking, what can I do to serve others in this world through the name of Jesus Christ? Next, James made it clear that Christ-like acts of love and compassion and mercy always follow a genuine profession of faith in Jesus Christ. James made it clear that faith works in our lives, and that those who follow Jesus do not show partiality or favoritism to some over others. Though we didn't spend much time on it in worship, so I will linger for a moment, James moves on to talk about the importance of speech in our lives, of what we say. James challenges each and every one of us to be faithful in our speaking, reminding us that our words can either bring blessing or cursing or destruction. And James warned about the negative power of the tongue, that instead of using our words for negative expressions, we're to speak good news, encouragement, inclusiveness, community. In the New Interpreter's Bible, Luke Timothy Johnson says in his reflection on James's words about speech, "The power of language, then, is awesome, for it gives humans the freedom to structure human life according to the word of truth, so that humans are a kind of first fruits of God's creation. They can create a universe of meaning in which God is omitted or ignored, or in which God is honored and loved and served." Importantly, Johnson goes on to say, "The real peril of the tongue is not found in the angry passing word or the incidental oath or the petty bit of slander. It is found in the creation of distorted words of meaning, within which the word of truth is suppressed. In other words, saying or using a word or words sometimes identified as bad words maybe isn't the best thing. But the worst way of using words, the worst way of using language, the really bad thing in using language, the really destructive thing in using language, is when words and language are used to distort meaning. When words are used for lies, when they are used to create a so-called reality that is false and fictional. That is, when words are used as weapons and manipulation to destroy the order in God's creation and to destroy God's community. Last week, we heard about wisdom, gentleness, and humility. As James encouraged us to show that our works are done with gentleness born of wisdom. Throughout all that we have heard from James, I believe James sees a new community as he writes his letter, a community that is shaped by being Spirit-led, Christ-centered, and God-devoted, a community of followers who are united, even though they may sometimes have differences. A community of followers who presents an alternative way of living to the world's way, especially when the world sometimes seems like it is crumbling right before us. An alternative way of living because so many people follow worldly wisdom and listen to voices that are distorting reality. James is speaking to those whom he anticipates will be shaped by and live into God's wisdom. Or as one author has pointed out, James is speaking to a community in crisis. James's message is an urgent appeal for those who call themselves Christians to adopt a courageous faith that will help them cope effectively with the trials of life and will produce in them a heightened moral integrity and loving actions. We get a pretty good picture of that kind of community that James hopes will evolve in life to those to whom he is writing. Frederick Craddock describes it this way. Everyday needs are addressed in this text. It pictures a community in which people suffer and pray, rejoice and sing, become sick and get well, sin and are forgiven. The picture reflects congregational life as we know it, people looking to the community of faith for help. And the church offers help in ways that are genuinely appropriate and effective. Right before today's lesson, James began with a series of warnings to those who are rich and have laid treasures up for themselves, who have lived lives of luxury and pleasure, while they have defrauded those who have worked for them. James then begins to tell those to whom he is writing to be patient, to strengthen their hearts, to not grumble against one another, to endure, and to not swear, to avoid taking oaths. Not simply a statement about oath-taking, but because those who follow Jesus Christ really shouldn't need to take oaths. It's that simple. They should be people who can be trusted and who are truthful in what they say. Their yes should be a truthful yes, and their no, a truthful no. Because if they aren't truthful in their speech, just like out in the world community, if they aren't truthful in their speech, if they can't be trusted, then the kind of community that James envisions is impossible. It cannot happen. The caring community, points out James, is to sing together, bringing cheer, as well as to pray for one another, bringing comfort to those who are in need. The prayers would also include anointing with oil, which was used for medicinal purposes in the ancient world. Bible scholar and theologian and priest A.K.M. Adam has pointed out that oil was probably not available to many of the poor in the community because of the cost. And he said, if the elders are to anoint any member of the congregation with oil, the better off members of the community will be subsidizing the poor. James thus advocates a model of community that admits no distinctions between rich and poor with regard to health as well as to wealth. Come in different ways. Perhaps physical healing of an illness or a disease, or the healing of relationships within families, between friends or among people in the church, or spiritual healing through experiencing God's presence and knowing that God's forgiveness is real and that the person comes to having a sense of wholeness in their lives. Again, Dietrich Bonhoeffer talked about the kind of community where people share with one another, bearing the burdens of others, he says, means we are not to judge others and are to guard against malicious glee over another's failure, whether that one is strong or weak. Conversely, it means that whoever needs to be lifted up will receive help. This beloved community, this St. John's, has so much to offer as that kind of caring community, the kind of caring community envisioned in the little book of James. And like all churches, there is ever yet more ways in which to become that kind of community and to grow into that kind of community and to be more and more of whom God calls us to be. In her book, Traveling Mercies, Anne Lamont tells the story of her pastor, that her pastor shared, of a time when she was 7 years old and one of her best friends got lost. The little girl ran up and down the streets of the big town where they lived, but she couldn't identify a single marker that might help take her or lead her, point the direction to go back home, and she was very frightened. Finally, a police officer drove by and picked her up, put her in the passenger seat of the car, and they drove around that town until she finally saw her church. She pointed it out to the policeman, and then she told him firmly, "You could let me out now. This is my church, and I can always find my way home from here." Lamont finished by saying, "And that is why I have stayed so close to my church, because no matter how bad I'm feeling, or how lost or lonely or frightened, when I see the faces of the people at my church and hear their voices, I can always find my way home. May our witness be the kind which will offer all people the opportunity to find their way home. To find their way home to a caring, loving, compassionate community of faith, whether they have ever stepped here in the midst of our presence or not, to be the kind of people who help them find their way home. A community which will enrich their lives through care and nurture, through challenge as Christ's disciples, to be about mission and service." I'd like to close with words of Luke Timothy Johnson's, as he talks once more about the witness to a way of life that is truly radical in its implications, he says. He goes on, "It not only challenges Christians to integrity in thought, speech, and action, but also by sketching a vision of the world opposite the one offered by logic of envy. It offers the possibility for Christians to enter into conversations with others who view the world as defined by a gift-giving God, a conversation in which the insights and clarity of James can contribute toward a genuine social ethics based in solidarity and peace rather than competition and violence. A world of peace and solidarity. A church where we know peace and solidarity as we live out a vision of a new community."